translation. Engage constantly in chanting and hearing about me, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer from material misery because they're always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are multifarious miseries in material existence, those pertaining to the body and to the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such material conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness, and thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Amarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachamsi Vakunta Guna Nuva Nane. Bhagavatam 9:4-18. He engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries, ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees are always engaged in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. So everyone's forgetful of something. The question is what? The conditioned souls are forgetful of their pure nature. They're forgetful of the sublime and transcendental environment that they have been affiliated with. It's their home. So in one sense, conditioned life is like amnesia. Someone has amnesia. They have a distinct identity. They have a distinct past. But they can't quite put it together. But sometimes there are some things that stimulate the consciousness. It helps them to begin to revitalize their previous and dormant awareness. Just as sometimes when someone joins the movement, they have some intuitive or internal push to try to know things. They want to understand what is behind just the general scheme of things. They feel some pull towards spiritual groupings, spiritual organizations, spiritual books. They're not quite sure why. Often they find they just don't fit in. It's like many of you, before you joined the movement, you distinctly felt that you didn't quite fit in to what other people were doing, even though you were also doing it, but you were not so satisfied. Sometimes you would even think maybe the problem was yourself. That other people are somehow embracing sense gratification and it seemed quite satisfying, quite complacent. But yourself, you found, even as you did such things, even as you maybe even achieved in some area, that it wasn't quite satisfying. It had a lot to do with the Sukriti and Jnana Sukriti, credits from the past, conscious as well as accidental credits that have been accumulated. So many types of devotional credits helps us to be favorable toward the process of bhakti. So much helps us to be able to participate, engage in Totitavya, kirtitavyascha, in the chanting, hearing, remembering process. So much helped us to enjoy so much hearing Krishna katha. Matata magata prana, voyantascha parastana, katayantascha manicha, tushan ticharo manticha. That's for the devotees. The devotees are the ones who derive tremendous satisfaction as they are thinking and speaking, hearing about the Lord. It's not the case for the non-devotees. Some of you have noticed, some of you are quite new, some are older devotees. But you have found that in many of your previous associations, as you try to share what is most dear to you with others, often they have absolutely no interest. Even sometimes they are so-called materially intelligent, and you try to share with them this very evolved philosophy. But because they do not have such credit and such desire, because they are not carriers of even the initial bhakti, you speak to them on and on, but it doesn't connect. You try to explain things in different ways. They can't catch up with it. Because understanding Krishna consciousness has never been based just on material intelligence. Then you begin to realize, hopefully, how rare it is. Even though it's so accessible to all, it is rare that a soul says yes to Krishna. It is rare that a soul is able to see and understand properly. Otherwise, they will see, perceive, codify things all based on their desires for something. Many people, they see others as simply an extension of themselves, extension for their own gratifications. Even often our relatives or parents, they simply see us as an extension of themselves. And so they have trouble sometimes with what we're doing because they're analyzing from a point that one belongs to them and they would not be doing it, so why are you doing it? This is a proprietorship consciousness. So, how important it is when we meet up with those who can understand the process of devotional service and are eager to share, to hear, to discuss. Sometimes it's very painful. Sometimes even in the same family, husband and wife, one person becomes a devotee, the other one doesn't. The other person comes home and talks about the class they heard, how nice the deities were dressed, how nice the prasadam was. The other person looks at him like, why are you telling me this? There you go again, speaking about such things. They distinctly have no taste, have no interest. Because there's still so much captured in their amnesia experience. And what is also healthy and natural to their own identity, as well as the other person's, they can't connect with it. And it's sad. And that's why the devotees of the Lord try to find so many ways somehow to give some blessing, some benediction, some connection with Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls. In some cases, people can take the book, read the book, understand and appreciate it. In other cases, they can read and read and read. They can't understand it. You've seen that. You're giving the book, sometimes to scholarly people, intelligent people, they can't even get past 5-10 pages. Even though they read so many other things. Because they are not having the devotional credits. Some people, you ask them even to just chant the holy name, and they can't. Try to invite them to a program. Yes, yes, yes. They say they're going to come, but they don't. It's like Maya doesn't allow them to, because Maya has too strong a grip on them. And others, the first contact they have with devotional service, immediately something clicks, and they want more. Immediately, they can see the value. They want to understand. Some people will walk into the door, they see the deities, and then go right out and never come back again. Why? Because a criminal, the last person the criminal wants to see is the policeman, is the authority. Some people, their lives are so full of sin, lust, deviation, that when they just see the Lord or his devotees, or something connected with the spiritual realm, they become disturbed, sometimes even angry. So that is the state, forgetfulness. So someone is being forgetful about the reality, and some people are being forgetful about the Maya. So Prabhupada explains, the devotee of the Lord is forgetting the Maya, putting it back. It's like our earlier lives is like another lifetime. Sometimes the devotee begins to think about some of their previous experiences, and it's like yugas, lifetimes ago. We wonder, how could we have done such things? How did we not understand even earlier that there was something so greater than just following the norms of society? Therefore, it is very wonderful when we see like the young children being born into the movement or people joining early. How fortunate that they are. They don't have to put so much useless time running after the illusions. For most people, they go their whole life like that. Then as they get older, they look back, and they're so sad. So many older people, they're so sad. They're sad because they can't use their faculties like they used to. They get insomnia. They can't sleep. Their digestion is bad. Respiration is bad. Defecation is bad. Aches and pains everywhere. The body's letting them know, all right, you had your time, what did you do with it? In so many cases, they're just preparing themselves for another body. And so some short time later, they come again. Adult, packed up in a little body, a little baby's body, but it's actually some soul that's been around for quite some time. And when coming again, at some point, many souls are in so much pain, so much suffering, wondering, how did it happen again? I have to come once again into this prison. Once again, suffering like anything. Trying to find happiness, trying to find affection, trying to find security, trying to find love, just to be constantly harassed at every turn. So, people, of course, they see differently, just as when Krishna was in the wrestling match. Even though it was the same Krishna, same Balaram, but everybody was noticing Krishna differently based on how free they are from the amnesia. So, of course, the elder gopis saw Krishna and Balaram as just the most lovable young kids, just the adorable children. And the younger gopis saw Krishna as just the most wonderful lover, most wonderful loving entity. And the yogis, they saw the Lord as the Paramatma and Super Soul, because this is their focus, their desire. And of course, the asuras, demons, loving Krishna, who others were so eager to hear about, to associate with, to be with, they saw Krishna as cruel death, death personified. Just like the devotees of the Lord, when they see the Sringadev, they become overwhelmed. But the materialists and the demons, when they see the Sringadev, they become horrified. They do not understand how wonderful that the Lord comes in so many forms to fulfill his promises that his devotees shall not perish. That he will even come in a special incarnation just to give his devotee care and protection. How overwhelmed that the Lord, who is the Paramahamsa, supreme controller of all, the Yogeshwara, supreme mystic, how he is so personally attentive that for his great bhaktas, he'll even appear in a special way, just to share his love and give his protection. But now, people are in so much fear, and they're so forgetful, because all around them is challenges. Ariadmic, Aridevic, Aribhautic. They're getting so much disturbance from their minds. People got all kind of phobias now, neurosis, psychosis, schizophrenia, manic depressive, so many things. Multiple personalities, they don't know who they are. So when their own mind isn't beating them like anything, then they're getting attacked by other people, sometimes friends, relatives, from all different sources. And that's not going on. Sometimes all of those things, along with the attacks from the devas. Some places are so cold, you're not careful, you'll freeze. Some places are so hot, you get a sunstroke by just being out in a short while. Other areas are so much toxic waves and things, people can barely breathe. Now the water is bad, the air is bad, the land is bad. People suffering so much. But still, they're looking tenaciously for some enjoyment, but looking in the same things that's causing the suffering. So no wonder the suffering goes on, because they're still within the same arena trying to find some happiness. They remain fearful, forgetful, experiencing the amnesia. So, to try to protect themselves, they've created insurance companies. You get all kind of policies, fire policy, life policy, this policy, that policy. But what is it really? What can it actually do? Can it stop the fire if your house is burning down? Does it stop you from dying, your children from dying, your mother, father from dying? No. Does it stop the earthquake or hurricane from destroying your house? No. But after it has happened, then you get some compensation, maybe. Because basically, the insurance companies are designed to take your money and to try to find every way possible how not to give any of it back to you or anyone else. And when they have to give it back, then they give you as little as they can. But they capitalize on people's fears, because there's so much to be fearful about. One of the chief growing industries these days is the security business, because everybody's in fear. Sometimes people have these wonderful mansions, and they're prisoners inside of their own mansions. Huge gates, and so many locks in every place, each door, unlock this locked. The other day we did a program at the prison. And just amazing, all the locks, all the doors you gotta go through, this door and that door. Completely unnatural, people to be so in so much confinement. Completely unnatural, people have to lock themselves in. Have bars, burglar bars everywhere. But there's so many things to fear. Because there's so many things that are threatening to the living entity, one has to find some ways for some security. Fear has a lot to do with experiences from the past. Just like many people are fearful, they have no faith in the devotional process, no faith in the institution, no faith sometimes in leadership, etc. So often it has to do with some bad experiences from the past, to themselves or to others. Sometimes real, sometimes alleged or imaginary. But because of that, their present is not stable. They have tremendous fear of the future because they're afraid that the future is going to be too similar to the past. And it's like it's hard for people to have faith if they're constantly remembering and being haunted by a bad past. Because then they dwell on that in the future, in the present rather. And they anticipate something similar for the future. So strong faith cannot be faked. It becomes strong, especially when the experiences and the environment induces that faith by good things from the past, by auspicious things happening in the present, and then one will have strong faith about what is accessible or what is probable for the future. But it's a big problem in the Vaishnava community. That many people are having weak faith. So therefore they fall prey to different types of sense gratification. You don't fall into sense gratification when your faith and your hearing remembering is strong. When your hearing, remembering, and faith is weak, then the next thing is that based on that weakness, you take shelter of unhealthy things. When one is not weak, one has no desire to take shelter of something destructive, inferior, something that's devastating. When the faith is weak, then one is searching. It's like when the faith is weak, one is suffering. And one is suffering, the person is suffering, the person wants to somehow relieve that suffering. But the danger is that we try to relieve the suffering through avenues that produce more suffering. Just think about that. When somebody falls down to sense gratification, they are trying to get some stimulation, some pleasure. But think about how much suffering is produced far beyond the little temporary sense gratification that one was involved in. Because the devotee knows what is right, and when the devotee engages in sense gratification, then to the degree that the mind and the intelligence beat you and beat you, it is surely not worth the little bit of stimulation that was there, because now that has just been a catalyst for so much suffering. But when one is not happy, do not feel protected, they do not feel good about their present, they feel bad about some things in the past, the most important, when they are not sure or secure, about the future. Then there's fear, there's vaya. With fear, when someone is afraid, they strike out. They do irrational things. Sometimes when someone is afraid, they attack the source of where they feel the attacker is coming from. You're afraid of someone, you're afraid of something. Sometimes people attack, thinking that something's going to attack them. But sometimes they reject and deny and run away because of the fear. So we become fearful of what will help us. Sometimes we become fearful of Sadhu Sangha, we become fearful of Guru, we become fearful of the Krishna process. Excuse me. And then instead of embracing it, we run away from it. We run away from just those things that will give us the healing, the help, and the protection. And then we become more affected and we suffer more. So it's kind of ironic that we're suffering, we try to relieve the suffering, but we do more things that brings about more suffering. And practically no one suffers more than a person who is in knowledge, who knows what is proper, but is not doing it. This would be an ignorance. You suffer here, you suffer there, but one who doesn't know much more is not such a big thing. It's like a person who's been very, very wealthy. They've been in the royal family. And now they're living like a bum. It's even more difficult for them. More suffering. Because they've experienced something so different. And now what they're having to deal with is just so devastating. A person who's always been at that level, suffering is there, but not quite the same. Of contrast.